Here's a tough question. How much will climate change cost? It's been answered in a lot of different ways over the years. And today there's a new study out trying to tackle the economics of climate change. We've got our Livable Planet reporter, Carolyn Beeler, here in the studio to talk about it. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, Marco.
So when we talk about the economics of climate change, what are we looking at? I mean, I can think of agriculture and storm cleanup. I also think about the cost to people who are concerned buying a hybrid or an electric car or installing solar panels. What am I missing?
Well, when we're talking economy-wide, you mentioned two of the big ones, disaster cleanup and agricultural productivity. But we can also look at things like worker productivity and how that's impacted by climate change, healthcare costs. And as policymakers are trying to decide what to do to prevent climate change and how much to spend to do that, there are increasing efforts to look at economy-wide, globally, how much climate change would cost if we didn't do anything to stop it.
I mean, it seems like a big question, almost too big, but these are the things that people who are smart wrestle with, supposedly. So how are these researchers trying to answer this question?
So the three Stanford researchers who just published a paper in Nature today looked at the historical relationship between temperature and GDP in 165 countries over several decades. And then it used that data to try to predict what would happen under various future scenarios. So if countries stick to the promises they've made under the Paris Agreement, it looks like the world will still be something like 15 to 25% poorer by the end of the century than we would have been if global warming stopped now. That's not going to happen. We're already on a trajectory to continue warming. But they found that if we actually limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is the most ambitious goal written into the Paris Agreement, we'll prevent about 10% of those losses in GDP, saving something on the magnitude of $100 trillion. And that would dwarf what it's expected to cost to reach those carbon mitigation goals.
What about certain sectors of the economy? I'm thinking agriculture or just general human productivity. It seems like there would be some industries and factors that could actually fare better and benefit in a lot of places if it got a few degrees warmer.
Yeah. So what was interesting to me about this analysis is that these researchers found that there's sort of a temperature sweet spot for economic productivity. So places where the average temperature is somewhere between 50 and 60 degrees Fahrenheit have the largest economic growth. So as it gets warmer, cold places in northern climates like Iceland, Northern Europe, Russia will actually have faster economic growth. Whereas warmer places closer to the equator will have slower economic growth. But on the aggregate, because some of the biggest economies are a little closer to the equator, China, the U.S., Japan, globally, if we keep it cooler, the economy will do better.
Let me just kind of challenge the whole methodology of this study, because, I mean, we're looking at the consequences of not dealing with climate change now in the year 2100. Isn't that really hard to predict?
It is. If you think about how hard it is to figure out how the stock market's going to be doing in a year, that'll give you a sense of how hard it is to predict total economic output in 80 years. So there's a lot of variation in these different estimates. This one is considered to be a bit more holistic than those looking at different sectors and how they might fare. And it also found bigger impacts than some previous studies. But I think it's important to mention that this study and other conversations about economics and climate change all have something in common, which is that the biggest and most severe impacts will be felt in warmer countries closer to the equator. They stand to benefit the most from us limiting climate change, and even small changes in carbon output could help those economies a lot.
The World's Livable Planet reporter, Carolyn Beeler, thank you for this.
You're welcome, Marco.